message this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 23. I should note here that over the next few chapters now, you'll note in Matthew we get a really solid block of teaching from Jesus. Several sermons, you might call them, that go over the next few chapters. Chapter 23 in Matthew is devoted to Jesus's chastisement and rebuke and lament regarding the Pharisees and regarding their being false shepherds to Israel. You could divide chapter 23 into perhaps three sections. The section that we'll look at today is sort of a description of the toxic faith of the Pharisees. The next section we have his seven woes, or his curses regarding the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And then the chapter ends with Jesus lamenting over Israel because of these things, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. But we'll look at the first section here, Matthew chapter 23, and we'll look at the first 12 verses. So let us hear once again now God's word. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray together. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We come with reverence. We come with a teachable spirit. We come not proud, but we come humble, wanting to hear from you, wanting to receive instruction, wanting you to feed us. Lord, as we humble ourselves, may your grace exalt us, that we might taste heavenly things this day. We pray it all for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. As a child growing up in the 1960s in Toledo, Ohio, we of course lived somewhat near Lake Erie. And Lake Erie was an interesting lake in the 1960s. You might recall that it was excessively polluted, largely because in Toledo we tended to blame Cleveland for this. But the dumping of sewage and industry and a lot of raw sewage that was dumped into the lake in the 1960s. This is before there was a lot of government regulation of these kinds of things. And so the lake became very polluted. Some of you might even remember this, that in 1969, the Cuyahoga River actually caught on fire because it was so laden with chemicals. But I remember I had an aunt who lived nearby in Huron, Ohio, which is right on Lake Erie. And I remember going there as a kid and going to the beach that was closed. You couldn't, literally, were not allowed to swim in the lake. And And I remember dead fish. Oh, this massive fish kill as a result of this. And so I can remember the dead fish on my aunt saying, isn't it terrible how terrible this the lake has become? Even national publications, I believe it was Time Magazine, proclaimed Lake Erie is dead because of the toxins that had been poured into it over the years. In Christopher Hitchens' book, God is Not Great, its subtitle is How Religion Poisons Everything. And he's not altogether wrong about that. There is, in fact, a type of religion that is toxic, that is poisonous. It's a kind of raw sewage pouring into the culture, making people very unhappy, making the world not a better place, but a worse place. A form of religion that becomes oppressive and coercive and violent, that encourages bigotry and ignorance and hypocrisy and harshness and pride. And we shouldn't just say, well, that's those other religions. But Christian religion, or at least Christian religion in its ethos, there are forms of Christian religion, at least in its ethos, that can be toxic. Jesus speaks very sweetly and kindly when he encounters tax collectors and prostitutes, outcasts, lepers. Often speaks very graciously, kindly, compassionately to them. But he reserves his harshest language, the toughest language we ever hear coming from the lips of Jesus, to scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law who have unleashed a kind of toxic form of religion upon the culture. And by contrast, he entrusts us to come to him as the true shepherd who said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, who comes to bring us before a relationship with God based on grace and mercy and kindness and love and humility and self-sacrifice. And so let us entrust ourselves to Christ and turn from toxic forms of religion. And then three things that we'll note here in Jesus' teaching as he describes toxic religion: that it's without sincerity, it's without compassion, and it's without humility. So first, a toxic religion is something characterized as being without sincerity. Jesus here describes the teachers of the law as sitting in Moses' seat. That's in verse 2. And he says that, now this is interesting, that you must obey them and do everything they tell you. I think the right way to understand what he's talking about there in verse 2 is that to the degree that the Pharisees are teaching Moses, which is what their job was, they were to teach the law of Moses, to the degree that they did that, you're to obey them. Law of Moses is good stuff. We're to follow the law of Moses. Where the Pharisees failed is, first of all, that they often went way beyond the law of Moses, adding law upon law to the law of Moses. But they also were failing to understand Jesus as the fulfillment of the law of Moses. But here's his first point that he makes about them is that they don't practice what they preach. In other words, in the world of the scribe and the Pharisee, there was this division between their outer world, their public world, that looked very polished, very spiritual, very godly, very righteous, and their inner world that was a mess. Jesus, a little later, is going to refer to them as whitewashed sepulchres. You're kind of white on the outside, clean on the outside, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. Now that's all of us some of the time. In other words, this isn't just a them kind of a thing, but this is, well, as Mark Twain said, all men are like the moon. We have a dark side that we don't want anyone else to see. So, let's just think about this. Jesus is criticizing them for, now here's a toxic form of religion, where the focus is on the external, but the internal world remains a mess. And that's sort of okay in toxic religion. That's not a big deal in toxic religion. Toxic religion then is sort of a cover, a public cover of a reality. But Jesus' religion, the faith that Jesus ushers in, is a religion dealing with the real world and the real you. So think for a moment, the person that you are when you're not in public. The person that you are when no one's watching you. The person that you are in your secret world. Jesus calls us to take that seriously. Jesus calls us to bring that to Him. That He has something to say about that part of you. And He invites us to come. I mean, this is the wonder of Jesus, who says, you don't need to cover that and pretend that you're something that you're not. But He calls us to come in your sickness. Come in your disease. He came not for healthy people, but for the diseased and the sick. And He invites us to come in reality, in authenticity, and in truth, and bring ourselves to Him. And if we can begin to be honest with God, that means we can start to be honest with each other. In Flannery O'Connor's book, Wiseblood, the main character, Hazel Moats, is described this way. It says about him, about this character, there was a deep, black, worldly, I'm sorry, I'm going to start over. There was a deep, black, wordless conviction in him that the way to avoid Jesus was to avoid sin. I think that's really brilliantly insightful into this kind of toxic hypocrisy Jesus is criticizing. The way to avoid Jesus is to avoid sin. In other words, the veneer that the Pharisee and the scribe kept up of their health is actually the very thing that kept them from seeing Jesus and their need for redeeming grace. So Jesus bids us to be honest before God, to be authentic before God. The second thing you want to note here is that Jesus says they tie heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, though they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. That's in verse 4. So one of the things about this toxic religion is that these Pharisees are dumping on the people all of these laws and burdens about washing hands and how many steps you can take on the Sabbath day. And they're loading law upon law, and it's crushing people. People are just crushing underneath the weight of the burden that they're being put under, and the Pharisees don't care. They're not compassionate about the suffering of the people. They don't care. They're without compassion. Toxic religion puts burdens upon people and doesn't care. Doesn't care that they're suffering. Doesn't care that they're breaking under the weight of it. It's a poisonous religion that is performance-based, that fosters fear and resentment, that is condemning and paranoid, that encourages anger toward God and is controlling, is bigoted, unloving, merciful, manipulative, and authoritarian. Reminds me of a fellow who had a pet snake, and he would go to the pet store to buy mice for food for the snake. And he always felt a little bit weird to go to the pet store, and he'd buy a little box of mice, and the person, you know, at the pet store would say, "Now, you've got these special vitamins to help your mice live a healthy life." And he would say, "Oh, that really won't be necessary." But the real clincher was that the box that the mice came home in and the pet store had written on it these words, "Thank you for giving me a home." Jesus describes the Pharisees as brood of vipers in their poison. They put heavy burdens on people and they don't care. They don't care how they suffer. Think of the contrast of Jesus, who says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear friends, the Jesus that we worship brings and ushers in a religion that is about lightening burdens. For he came as one who came to carry our burden, the burden of our sin, the burden of our brokenness. He came that we might cast our cares and our concerns upon him. True Christian faith is about coming to understand the Jesus who came to lighten the load. Whatever your burden is this morning, whatever that is, and you know what it is, can you try to understand that your Jesus is a Jesus who says, "You bring that to me, that's too heavy for you, I want to help you carry that." That's the faith that Jesus is ushering in. The other thing that we'll want to note is that the toxic faith of the Pharisees lacked any kind of humility. It was very much about show. So beginning at verse 5, we get a list of things that the Pharisees did. It says that everything they do is done for men to see. And then here's our list. They make their phylacteries wide. Everybody know what a phylactery is? The Jewish people took very literally in Deuteronomy 6 the passage that says, "Take God's word and bind it on your forehead." And so while certainly that was metaphoric, but they literally would have this thing called a phylactery, and they would put, it's like a box that would be strapped onto their forehead, and it had God's word in it. It had passages of scripture in it, and they would wear these on their foreheads. Some Orthodox Jews do this to this day. But theirs were especially wide to kind of show, look how spiritual, I need a bigger box on my forehead to have more scripture than average. The tassels on their garments were long, which was again another display of kind of look how important and then spiritual I am. They loved and were obsessed about the place where they sat at banquets. Jesus, you might recall, addressed this issue earlier. But they were really obsessed on having the place of honor and where you would sit at a banquet. They loved titles of being called rabbi or father or teacher. They sought rank. And Jesus, by contrast, is saying, my people are not to seek rank. We're not to be obsessed with stature, for your teacher, your true teacher, is God, and your true father is God. And he really sums it up in verse 12 when he says, the greatest among you will be a servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The faith that Jesus ushers in is a call to humility. Several years ago, I was backpacking with my brother on an island up in Michigan, and we were hiking through the woods, and he had a machete. And at one point, he's up ahead of me, and he says, hey, Rick, watch this. And he takes his machete, and he'd come across a tree that had fallen, and apparently he'd felt it and saw that it was rotten inside of the tree. It looked normal, but he could tell it was rotten. It's about this big wide. He said, hey, Rick, watch this. He takes his machete, and with one fell swoop, whoosh, he chops this tree in half. Very impressive. And then, 5 seconds later, he comes to realize that not only has he cut the tree in half, but he's cut the beehive inside the tree in half, okay? And so now, angry bees are coming out of this stump, and they are stinging him, and my vision of this is my brother running through the woods, dropping his machete, dropping his backpack, running through the woods. I think he was stung 7 or 8 times and was miserable the rest of the trip. But dear friends, when religion is focused on, hey, watch me. By the way, pray for me on this. Watch me. And anyone that's up in public, anyone that's doing something for God, hey, watch me. Very dangerous. Very toxic. Very harmful. And when we, dear friends, get into this mode of watch me, hey, it's about me. My needs, my glory, my honor, my value. We end up creating angry bees that not only sting us, but go around stinging each other, releasing their poison into the church and into the culture. So Christopher Hitchens is right. Sometimes religion poisons everything. But the religion that Jesus brings into us, that he inaugurates in his kingdom, is a religion not based on hypocrisy, but sincerity. He's the real deal. And he calls us to be the real deal. He says, you can be honest before God and not have to pretend with your own self-righteousness. Get real. A religion based on sincerity and humility, a religion based on compassion. Why? Because he's been compassionate. This whole section ends with Jesus saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers the chicks, but you wouldn't. And he has compassion on the people, moved deeply with compassion. And it was compassion that took him to the cross. The ultimate expression of humility. For Jesus, even though he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became a servant, even to the point of dying on the cross. Here's the founder of a religion, not based on look at me, but put up as an instrument of as a vision of scorn and contempt and humiliation out of his compassion and love. So he is the one that we follow, dear friends, who leads us into not a toxic faith, but a faith that is healing, that is restorative, that gives hope and joy and cleanses us from toxins. Let's pray. as you're silent and as you're just a moment of quiet here, I want you to think about the toxins that are running through your system right now. Jesus comes to cleanse whatever you need to pray to Him or say to Him right now. I'll just give you a moment to do that. Bring your toxins to Him. Lord Jesus, we thank You and praise You that you said You didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, O Lord, may we rejoice anew that You have found us again. This we pray in Jesus' name.